the room is getting settled, I want to thank Dr. Almeida for a very powerful presentation and looking at the effects of anti-immigrant policies. I've learned quite a bit in a short period of time, and just thank you for that work. The work that I'm going to present today is much more applied. I'm an anthropologist and worked directly with a small population of farm workers who are primarily Mexican and new immigrant from central Mexico, Michoacan, Jalisco, Guanajuato. And I also want to publicly thank and acknowledge my collaborator, Tricia Miranda, who has challenged me to look at the policy implications of the work that we're doing and to answer what might be some really rich and important policy-related questions in a group that I don't think I would have had the lens to explore these questions. So the work that I'm presenting today is really the result of the collaboration of Dr. Miranda and I, as well as our doctoral students. First, I have to indicate that the following presentation has no financial relationships with commercial interests, relevant to the presentation in the last 12 months. I always start my presentations either with an acknowledgement or a thank you of the populations that I work with, and this is the one that I choose today. There is a person in the experience that I've had working with farm workers. I call him Javier. It's a pseudonym. He's a relatively young man with a family. And like all of my farm workers, he's taught me a lot about who is important. And he reminded me on this particular day that he loved his job. And he loved his job because his hands fed the world. And what Javier said to me is that it's nice to work in the fields because of all the people that work in the field, they're producing food for the entire world. Because the entire world eats from the field and not from the offices and not from the warehouses, not from the stores, but from the field. And I just want to take a moment and acknowledge that the food that we eat every day is at the cost of a human hand, and to acknowledge that without their words and without their participation in our studies, we would not only eat, but I would not have data to present here tonight. I want to acknowledge both Javier and all the farm workers who participate in our study. So who are farm workers? Farm workers thank you on behalf of farm workers, not thank you to me. Farm workers are a primarily Mexican group from central Mexico. They're also primarily male, young, and Spanish-speaking. I say that the male part with a bit of an asterisk, with a bit of a caveat. In my own work in communities, husbands and wives work side by side. And I see that a large proportion of the population is female. I think that the national stats mask that a little bit because who's participating in the national studies are the men who work in the fields. But in my own studies, I actually have primarily women, and you'll see in this study that they're mixed quite well, most of whom are from Mexico, born in Mexico. 75% of farm workers are born in Mexico. A large number, about 25%, are born in the U.S., and then other farm workers are from primarily central Mexico. The work that I'm presenting today is really about the health risks involved with pesticide exposure. Farm workers are exposed to pesticides simply as a means of going to work. When farm workers go to work, they're exposed to pesticides. It's a dangerous job. There are other conditions that put farm workers at risk, and I don't have time to discuss them today. But pesticides are the only chemical released into the environment with the intent to kill. And it's under those conditions in which farm workers work. Even though they're not directly the target of pesticides, they still endure their exposures in these ways. The chronic symptoms are really quite small, but they look much like the flu. Right? They're diarrhea, headache, weakness, blurred vision, coughing, sneezing, trouble breathing, dizziness, and sweating, as well as nausea. Sometimes farm workers describe these symptoms as nervios or alergias. They have allergies or the little trembling of the hands. And sometimes they're not actually prescribed to the exposures that they're facing. In more severe cases, and when I say severe, I mean pesticide poisoning. So a direct exposure to pesticides and to a concentrated dose includes more severe abdominal pain, muscle twitching, incontinence, and hypotension. If I illustrate this to you, then it might be more vivid if you think about those of us who will admit that we have sprayed a roach or an ant or a fly and watch what happened. Right? I have sometimes sprayed those in my home or somewhere else and watch what happens, and you see this major attack of the body. The way that most pesticides work are they're similar to nerve agents, and that's why you see this abdominal pain, the muscle twitching with more severe doses. We talk about PPE or PPE as a major outcome in the behavioral intervention that we're working with, because PPE is the measure by which we protect farm workers from pesticides. It is a behavioral mechanism and not an industrial one. The definition that I use right now is from OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, and that these are devices and or clothing that's used to protect workers from injury, contact with chemicals, radiological, electrical, or mechanical, or any other workplace hazard. When farm workers... I apologize for that. I took these out. Okay, this was to shock my students one day, and I didn't take that out. Okay, so using PPE really signifies to wake them up. You guys don't need that. So to use PPE, it signifies several things, and please excuse me. It means that the hazard is there, right? The hazard is in place. And so if you have a worker that has to use PPE, that simply means that they're working in a condition of risk. Second, it also means that the hazard could not be prevented by other methods. By that I mean any other kind of administrative protocol, an engineering protocol, for example, a closed cab. When one is spraying pesticides, if they're in a closed place, then they won't be exposed because they're in a closed tractor. And then finally, unprotected workers will have some exposure, and if you do not wear your PPE, that means that you will be exposed. So PPE is important to wear. PPE is mandated on a federal level. It's through regulation enforced by the Environmental Protection Agency, and the requirements through what we call the Worker Protection Standard, which is the mechanism and the policy to enforce PPE use. But it does more than enforce PPE. It enforces training of workers on pesticide safety, access to information on when the fields will be sprayed, how and how long people should enter the fields, decontamination practices, as well as mandates PPE for some workers. The implication of this is that it's the responsibility of the employers to comply and not the responsibility of the workers themselves to comply to the policy. There have been changes that will be in place once this passes the Federal Registrar. Those include one that I'm very happy about is that there will be annual training for workers. It used to be, and it currently is, that workers only have to be trained every 5 years. There is also no more grace period for training. There used to be a grace period of between 3 and 6 days, and depending on if you work in a crop that can be cleared in 6 days, you might be able to work without having training at all, and so that has been removed. There is now an age requirement for people who have to be in the direct capacity of pesticides, so those who are handling, they now have to be 18 to handle pesticides. And finally, there is a new PPE registration, respirator fit test, where you have to actually fit and test that you are not inhaling any residues through the proper fit testing of PPE. There are some things that are not happening. For example, PPE provision only applies to workers who re-enter a field after spray or who directly handle pesticides. What I mean by that are workers who I actually took that out for time, but workers who are directly what we call mixed load or apply. They are mixing the concentrations for readiness of spray, or they are applying it directly to the fields. Any other worker who works in the fields but does not mix load, apply, or re-enter directly after a spray, they are not covered to wear PPE under the worker protection standard. But these risks, we know, carry consequences, because field workers, who are those who pick our fruits and vegetables, what we know is that they undergo similar exposures as handlers. So these are at least three studies that indicate that some field workers may have greater exposures to pesticides because in their house dust, field workers had greater pesticide levels than sprayers. In another study, we see there was no difference in their actual internal dose, which is in urine concentrations of pesticide levels of field workers compared to sprayers. There's some reasons why we think that's happening. Sprayers have to go through several levels of training, and they're wearing a lot of PPE, right? And so there may be other things that are explaining that, but field workers do have a risky level of exposure. So after talking to Tricia about some of this, we wanted to understand if training that is mandated through PPE is associated with PPE use at all for field workers, and also to explore if provisioning PPE with among field workers will increase their use of it, so that this might be a voice to the EPA to indicate that maybe we should also be provisioning field workers with PPE. Finally, we wanted to examine if acculturation moderates the associations between training, provision, and PPE use, since most farm workers are Hispanic and foreign-born. We looked at this question through an ongoing pilot investigation called Protejase, which is protect yourself for those people who don't speak Spanish in the room. And it's designed as an interventional measure to provision farm workers with PPE, as well as test the daily use of PPE, and finally to have a baseline and follow-up measure after 30 days. The description of the measure and as well as the design is in press at the Journal of Occupational Environmental Medicine if you want to go look for it. We didn't provision farm workers with every kind of what we call baseline PPE, and by baseline PPE we mean just wearing a long shirt to cover the skin, long pants to cover the skin, proper boots, gloves, as well as safety glasses. We only provision farm workers with safety glasses, long shirts, and gloves because the literature indicates that those are the three materials that are most difficult to wear and most difficult for farm workers to provision for themselves. We use an individually administered survey at baseline and follow-up where we ask questions on a Likert type scale of how often they wear their PPE, ranging from 1 to never, 1 is never to 5 as always. It also assessed demographic and work characteristics, including training. For acculturation, we use the Marin acculturation scale, a short scale, which splits their measure into language as well as social acculturation. The language acculturation scale asks questions such as, do you read and speak Spanish? What language have you used as a child? What language do you use at home? And then the social acculturation scale asks questions really around who people hang out with socially at parties and gatherings, and who visits you, and if you choose for your children to have friends, who would you want them to be? We see in our results, so these are just descriptive characteristics of our sample by level of acculturation. In general, I do need to say our population was not very acculturated. We had no one that scored high on the acculturation scale. So we split these individuals by at the median and at low and what we call moderate levels of acculturation. So at baseline, we had individuals who were provisioned their PPE at about 3.6 of those, at a level of 3.16 for those who had low acculturation and 4.29 for those who were moderately acculturated. And we see at baseline, the folks who were moderately acculturated, even though this is a small sample and not very differently acculturated than the folks who are low acculturation, we see at baseline that they had really, really the low acculturated folks had very low levels of low levels of PPE use. We see there were no differences in training. There were only differences in PPE use as well as income. We had three models, both the crude model and then the last model, take into account all of our characteristics. So I will walk through the model that was significant, so you see that we split things by provisioned as well as the self-provided PPE. So at baseline, we see that training does impact, or is positively associated, not very strongly, but positively associated with PPE use. But once we enter acculturation into the model, that relationship is no longer significant. And people who are less acculturated wear less PPE. And the only difference in what we see, which I think is really powerful and really helpful, is that the change in PPE use between day zero and day 30 was most important for people who were low acculturated. So there were some issues around language acculturation or linguistic barriers perhaps to training that kept people who were low acculturation from wearing the PPE. By the end of the study, we were able to at least bring those individuals who were low acculturation, who were low acculturated, up to the same level as individuals who had moderate acculturation, and their levels, I believe, were around 4.29, which is really, for me, I was very happy, because those three types of PPE are very difficult for farm workers to wear. Any of you who've ever been in the field or just walk outside when it's hot, it's hard to put other things on. And to have a farm worker to put on gloves and glasses and a long shirt in the middle of Texas or California when it's 100 plus degrees outside, and to have that kind of behavioral intervention work for folks who usually don't get it, right? Like, it's the folks who speak English really well and able to kind of fight for their rights who get their PPE. It's the farm workers who are new and don't really speak English who can't get it. And we were really happy that this worked. So our conclusions are similar to other studies, that PPE combined with proper training increases PPE. Provision combined with proper training increases PPE use, and the provision seems to have a strong interventional component in adhering to occupational safety. But there's policy that remains lacking in the improvement of access to PPE for field workers, and that there might be some linguistic acculturation barriers that are associated with PPE use among Hispanic farm workers, but that provision might be the one thing that overcomes those linguistic barriers. And we're very, I feel very strongly about that in terms of the policy implication. So I finally want to thank the individuals who have been a part of this study. Again, my farm workers, and there's a project associate at the border, at the Texas Migrant Council, Monica Gonzalez, who has been very instrumental in my access to that population. I want to thank her also. And at this time, I want to acknowledge my collaborators, and on to Dr. Miranda. Thank you.